Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
Well, I want to welcome those people that are watching and listening to another edition of what we call the Roundtable Podcast, David. I am fired up about this time, just in the lead up to doing this with you and just hearing your story, but let me not get ahead of myself. David Potier.
Right.
Do I do okay on that one?
Yes.
Not bad.
No, that's perfect.
From Montreal.
From Montreal.
Senior pastor of La Chapelle, the chapel.
Yes.
And David is with us because there's a conference going on in our building right now, the Multiply Conference. So David is one of the presenters.
Yeah.
And so when I found out you were coming and in discussion with people that know you, I said, man, we just got to grab some time.
Hey.
So David, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to hear your story. I want to hear your ministry story, but maybe just give us some background on you.
Okay.
You're French-Canadian, so
yes.
English is your second language, so thank you for doing this, because I don't know French other than a little bit that I learned as an elementary school kid, so thank you for speaking to me in English.
Thank you. I'll make my effort to make myself understand.
Thank you.
Really second language for me,
yeah.
So yeah, not always easy.
Yeah. So your story, where'd you grow up?
Grew up in a city called Trois-Rivières. It's about 2 hours from Montreal.
Yeah, Three Rivers.
Three Rivers,
hey,
right.
Hey, see? Not
right.
Bad.
Yeah. Grew up there. Church kid. My parents left the Catholic Church in the 70s.
Okay.
Become evangelical Christian. So I was the only one of my brothers raised in church. So church kid. I was gifted as a church kid, knew all the verses, always have the right answers at children's school, you know. I didn't feel the call of the ministry at all.
Yeah.
At all. I came to Christ at 15 years old. When you grew up in church, you don't feel the need for Christ like other people.
Right.
And a friend of my father came home and shared with me the gospel, but he shared with me as if I didn't know it.
Huh.
And he said, I think you need that. And I was like, why I would need that? I know that. But the Spirit did something in me.
Huh.
And that day I give my life to Christ at 15. And it changed completely who I was.
Huh.
I wanted to make money. I was gifted at school. Want to make money, make myself well known. That was my purpose.
Right.
I was not a bad person, but my purpose was that. The moment I give my life to Christ, my entire soul changed. And I became more other-centered.
Right.
And but ministry was not on the radar. But church became important.
Huh.
And I became involved in church like crazy. Everything I could do, I did it with a joyful, glad heart. But I get married at 20 years old.
Okay, young.
With a pastor kid.
Right.
My wife, she was a pastor kid.
Yeah.
And she wanted to marry a pastor, but I didn't have the profile of a pastor at all.
Yeah.
But she had faith.
Yeah.
And we get married, and slowly, I was so involved in church, and I had this passion that the church will be the church, and it will work, that people will come to Christ. But I was not involved in churches that brought many people to Christ.
Were you in Trois-Rivières then?
Trois-Rivières then. So we moved to Sherbrooke.
Okay.
And we did a little tour of the churches, like we do when we move.
Sure.
And God surprised us. He said, you're going to go to this church.
Hmm.
We were sure about that, but not happy about it at all.
How come?
Because they were charismatic, but really charismatic.
Yeah. No seatbelt whatsoever.
Oh, no seatbelt at all. No seatbelt at all. So for me, it was really challenging. And there was a lot of stuff I was not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand why God said you had to go there.
Mm.
And we were there for 8 years.
Wow.
And even if I didn't agree with everything, one thing they knew, grace.
Hmm.
And the pastor was preaching. I don't think he was agree with everything that people did in his own church.
Right.
But he was preaching on grace every week. And I was from a legalistic background.
Right.
And a legalistic family. And it was so in my bones, I didn't know it. And he was preaching on grace every single week. I was upset by it. I was mad. I was, every Sunday I said, he preached on grace again? There's other subject?
Yeah.
Holiness? You know, it was, and I said, people will abuse of his preaching.
Right.
Look at this church. They abuse of the preaching.
Right.
And I didn't get it. But I realized that when it's legalistic, people hide their sin. When it's graceful, people don't hide their sin.
Wow.
So it looks maybe messier, but it's not. When you zoom, you discover that it's less, it's more healthy than the other. But the sin is not, it's more obvious.
Right.
So after 4 years, I got it. It took 8 years to remove that legalistic approach and DNA on myself. But the turning point was when he asked my wife and I to take the youth ministry. Was a 200 people church?
You're just volunteer.
Volunteer.
So you're working doing what at that time?
Worship and everything I could. But I hated kids.
Yeah, but what did you do for work?
Oh, I was working in a paper mill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated kids because when I gave my life to Christ at 15 years old, I paid a real big price. Lost friend, a lot of loneliness. So I hated kids. So I'm 23 and the pastor said, do you want to take the youth ministry? We had no ministry for 2 years, was closed. And he said, take it. And we were like, why you ask us to do it? Because the only reason you ask us to do it is that we're here every week. And I don't think he had another reason.
Warm body, man.
Yeah.
Warm body.
But I hated kids. They gave me a bad teenage years.
Yeah.
I hated
them. Yeah, absolutely. Negative experience.
Oh, yeah. So my wife said, we need to do that. I said, all right. Are you going to preach to the kids? She said, no, you're going to do it. I said, no. We are not going to do this. She said, there's nothing to do it. We need to do it. So we took it. 7 kids, first year. After a year, we had 15 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the pastor said, good work, it's amazing. I was praying, God send the right person. And sincerely.
Like take over for
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I said, God, anybody you're going to send, I'm going to put myself under them and cheer for them
right.
and help them.
Right.
But please send the good person.
Right.
Second year, after 2 years, 30 kids.
Huh.
God, please send the right person. Third year, 45 kids.
Wow.
And after the third year, it clicked.
Okay. Now, is the church growing the same kind of explosiveness?
No.
So this is the youth ministry.
Growing, the church is
right, stable. Right.
So it's about, after 5 years, we got 100 kids in a 250 church.
Wow.
It was, at this point, was the second largest youth ministry in Quebec, but nobody knew that.
Right.
So after the third year, I said, all right, it's us.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes. And I accepted, and the kids saved me. Jesus saved me. But
he used them.
Oh, yeah. He all my legalistic stuff were blown away because he sent kids, 17, 18, 20-year-old kid, so in love with Jesus, but so different than me, and so extrovert and crazy people.
Yeah.
And I thought you cannot be Christian and be like that. But they confronted me with their love for Christ. Mm. Their style was so different. I thought you could not have a Mohawk, blue Mohawk, and be a Christian.
Right.
But they were Christians. So they challenged me, changed me completely, and it modeled who I am today and the way we do ministry.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
That's a great story. I could talk more about that if we had the time. It's so great.
Yes.
So you're there, kind of fast forward. So you're there for the time, you're doing youth ministry,
you're
loving it, God's getting a hold. Yeah, God's getting a hold of your life.
Yes.
kind of fast forward a little bit. What happens next? It leads you to
it leads us to a young adult ministry we did for 7 years in another church in Montreal.
Okay, so you move from there to Sherbrooke to Montreal,
to South Shore, Montreal.
Okay,
7 years there. Never been in full-time ministry before. Never had a dollar paid in ministry before. And they asked us to take a young adult gathering. We took it. 175 young adults. Grew to 500 in 7 years, about.
Wow.
And after the fifth year, we knew it was time to move. So we said to our senior pastor, we feel that we're called to plant. And Pastor Clodin, amazing pastor, strong man of God, best pastor I know, supported us and say, all right, we're going to support you to do that. So after 7 years of young adult ministry, we planted La Chapelle in 2013.
So the move from that to planting,
yes,
obviously something happened to where you're going, okay, I feel called to now do this on my own. Can you talk about that a little bit?
When we accepted the call of the ministry, we knew that the finality would be church planting.
Okay.
So for about 10 years, I was in a church planting mode in my heart, but don't work on it.
Where'd that come from?
It comes from...
Because that's not going on in Quebec. I mean, it's not like there's a ton of church planters.
No, let me tell you where it's come from. It's come from a kid who were in a church that split 20 times in 20 years.
Wow.
That's where it come from. Those legalistic Christians, and they learned me what not to do in church business.
Right.
And I said, it should be different. And I look at models where they were not splitting, where the leadership was healthy, and I said, we're going to do this. So it was there from beginning, but we were really careful about be full involved in your actual season and not be always dreaming about the future. I think faith is to be fully engaged right now where you are with a vision of the future. Not being stuck in the past. Not just dreaming about the future, because if you just dream about the future, nothing is going to happen. You need to be fully engaged where God is calling you now. Make it work now. Just don't dream. It's kind of, it's unhealthy just to dream. Dream a bit, but be fully engaged now. And God will move you on when he wants to.
Right.
Yes.
So in 2013, you plant.
Planted.
Now, the church that you were a part of right before this,
yes.
What was the name of that church?
New Life Church.
New Life.
Yes.
And they're whereabouts in, you said south, what part of Montreal?
South Shore of Montreal.
South Shore. Okay, so you plant La Chapelle.
Yes.
Distance-wise from?
Oh, it's not far, maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, so you plant in 2013,
yes.
And where do you meet when you plant at that time? Where did you start out at?
We started in a bar.
In a bar?
I had no place. I met a guy on
That's
the
awesome.
Street
That's
that
awesome.
I kicked out of New Life Church because he was so immoral. Huh. In 7 years of ministry, I asked two people to leave the church, and the church supported me in that. He was one of those. And he had a bar. And he was happy to meet with me. Hey, Pastor David, what are you doing in Montreal? I said, I'm planting a church. He said, wow, this is great.
So you still have a relationship with the guy?
No.
Not at all.
He said, hey, I have a bar. I was like, all right. He didn't get it. He said, do you want it? I said, for what? For you doing your meetings. I said, all right. So he gave it that for free. And we do vision nights there for... about 2 months and a half.
Yeah.
We did it 5 times. It was smelling urine everywhere. It was a mess.
Hops and barley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was. We had a plastic bag of drugs everywhere. It was a really dirty place.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a nice bar.
No, not nice at all. It was a place the police was often there. But that's where we begin.
Yeah.
Yes, we did vision nights there.
Okay, and then what? Then you went from there to where?
From there to a high school.
Okay.
So we launched 2013 April. 7, we launched our first site.
On Easter Sunday, it sounds like.
No, after.
Okay.
After Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
I talked to myself, Easter's too big, it's going to be artificial, and it's going to be hard to motivate people after
right.
that.
Yeah, that's good.
So I said, no, let's start the week after.
And how many people Easter. Are there on your launch?
Didn't expect that. 536 people.
Didn't on your launch that. Sunday, you have...
Yes.
Really?
Didn't
wow.
expect that at all. But everybody was talking about that. Many people from New Life Church were there. Pastor Claude was there just to support. You know, so
okay.
everybody's at the party.
Right.
But what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, what happened next week?
300 people came back.
Wow. See, man.
100 church people, 100 de-churched,
yeah.
and 100 unchurched that was invited by others. So we started with that. And it grew pretty fast. After about less than a year, we had a second service because we were out of seats.
And you're in a high school gym?
Yes. High school auditorium.
Okay.
So we had a second service about a year later. And after 2 years, we were full again.
Yeah.
So, and we could not add a third service. So we add another site.
Okay.
And so we started that about 1.5 years ago, and it grew. It's a night location. It's a night service. It grew to about 300, and our first site grew back again because we send a lot of people there, grew back again to be full again. So we're full on the on one side. We're not full at the second, but close to. So we'll need to have a second service soon on the night church.
Yeah.
And we have a third church in the oven right now. We want to plan for September, maybe first week of September.
So when you preach in the morning at your two services or gatherings, and then in the evening again?
Yes. When I preach, I do 3 of them.
Right.
But with the other church, it's not going to be possible.
Right.
So we were in the process for a year now. When we started the church, I preached 85%. Second year, I preached 75%. Third year, I was about 66%.
Mm-hmm.
And every summer, I downshift to about 50% of Sundays that I preached. Last summer, we did that. But as other years, I didn't go back to 66 or more. I stayed at 50.
Huh.
And this is intentional, because when we're going to add the third church, I'm going to be 1 week here and 1 week there. So I'll go down to about 40% of the Sundays that I preach. Because if you take the vacations and speaking engagements, things like that.
Sure.
So down to 40. So 1 week here, 1 week here. And the night is not in conflict. So I'll do the night. So I'll preach about 40% of the time in every church. But we plan that, we downshift that, and we are training preachers to do that job.
Now, would you ever consider sending out the evening, gathering that group of people as its own church? Or is it considered a campus right now?
I don't like the word campus.
Okay.
We don't use that. We use the word chapel.
Okay.
Those churches are not autonomous, will not be. We want to centralize things we can, because in Quebec, our resources are really, really low financially. So what we can do together, we'll do it together.
Right.
Save money. We don't have a lot of well-trained, ready with experience pastor that can be by their own.
Right.
So we're gonna adapt to the guy.
Yeah. So again, just in my earlier, I did another podcast earlier this morning with Brent, who's
yes.
over in St. John.
Yes.
And doing ministry there, things are exploding. And in that podcast, and I'll say the same thing in this podcast, this is a miracle. I
yes.
mean, this is nothing short of a miracle, because,
yes.
I mean, Montreal is not a place where evangelical churches flourish.
It's
less
than 1% evangelical.
So, and this is in 4 years. Just give me some of the
numbers. It's not 4 years yet.
Not even 4 years, but
yes.
give me some of the numbers, not in terms of just attendance, but people coming to Jesus and
okay.
baptisms. And
We're the least church city in North America. less than 1% of people go to church. Okay, it's really, really low. And we are seeing it, something's changing.
Yeah.
Slowly, something is changing. We are now about 1,300. So 900 at our first site and 300 at the 350. It's about 1,300.
Okay.
So we're 1,300 on an average weekend. That's normal.
Right.
On Easter and Christmas, it goes up. We had 2,800 at Christmas. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was really people. It's a huge tool for evangelism, so we use it. So we baptized more than 400 people in the last 3 years, 3.5 years. Hundreds came to Christ. And we talk about total unchurch people. Really, really, really unchurch people. So it's a challenge for discipleship.
So from the standpoint, obviously, God's grace, the miraculous power of the Spirit drawing.
Yes.
But in terms of your ministry, what are you doing perhaps differently than other individuals who have attempted to plant churches in Montreal, lead churches in Montreal, that aren't seeing that sort of growth? I mean, very few across the country. I mean, you're exceptional at La Chapelle in terms of that. But what are you doing perhaps differently than others before you?
There's things I can say. First of all, I will say it's a work of the Spirit.
Sure.
Okay, so I want to say that first. We cannot reduce that to a formula.
I couldn't agree more.
But let me add to this some stuff.
Yeah.
I think I was well prepared. People are not prepared.
Hmm.
They're not. They have the passion, they have the dreams, they have the financial support.
Right.
But they're not ready. What have you done? What have you done in ministry? What did you grow? What did you lead successfully for more than 2 years? Because everybody can grow youth ministry for 6 months, but it just teared down after, you know? So what have you done? Being prepared. We need to have more internships in churches that know how to do it and send those people. So I think my 7 years at New Life Church,
right?
I didn't had a personal daily mentorship. I was like part of the team. Look at Pastor Claude. Look at what he's doing, and we can do that. Oh yeah, that's how we do that. That's how we lead. We can say that. Wow, and learn from these gifted, anointed men. Learn how to do it.
It's very similar to my story. Same thing. 10 years at a church before planting Westside. Never had a formal mentorship, but I called the guy who was the senior guy there, my mentor.
Yes.
And I just learned from him.
Yes.
And it was the greatest 10-year internship that I, you know, could have ever imagined. And so much when I started here, all I did was take that and do it here.
Because the growth is so miraculous and God is sending people. But if I was not trained well enough in leadership, this would crush me, or I will just blew the thing out because it would be too big for me. So I think that's one reason. And when you're well trained, you can attract the good people around you.
So good team.
Yes.
So training and a good team. Now, that's not easy.
You're not well-trained, you will not attract a good team.
So where are you getting your people? Because it's not like you have this big bastion of, you know, people just going, hey, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready.
Some came and said, hey, I'm ready, I'm ready. But church planting attracts people with ambitions, and that's really dangerous. Because when it's secular, like Quebec, people are so... they don't believe it that it can work anymore. So you cannot say, hey, let's try it, and say, we'll put $200,000 in the garbage. And no, you cannot. You have to succeed. It has to work. So you really, really need to be well trained and to don't go too fast and to protect your momentum in the first year. You don't need a key leader that say, I'm out.
Right. Momentum has got to be dealt with very, very preciously.
Yes. So what we did first, and it was a spirit thing. I was tempted to put people everywhere. And it was a spirit thing. I felt God say, don't put anybody anywhere. So I arrived to Vision Night and said, because first Vision Night, I had a formula. What you want to do? And we took all those names and we had people everywhere except where we needed to. Came back second week, say, hey, forgot about that. We got a formula with three things. Kids, people, welcoming, and logistic. What you want to do.
Right.
And God told me, don't put people in a leadership position. So for 6 months, I was like, we built the wall. Everybody. You remember Nehemiah, priest, everybody? We built the wall. Yeah. Everyone building the wall. And people were impatient. Hey, when are you going to say who's in charge of this and this and this? Right. When are we going to do this and this and this? So to keep my momentum, I have to be slow to put people in leadership position. And I had to take all my leadership and say, hey, we're going to do one thing here, because it was portable church. Right. We're going to do our Sundays. Yeah, but what about prayer? What about small groups? What about this? Hey, we're going to learn to do one thing. And when we're going to have to learn, when we have learned that, we're going to add something else. What are we going to add after that? Small groups.
David, it's like you're the French version of me. It's exact. I mean, man, I just love what you're saying, because I could not agree more. Mm-hmm. And it just, this is your story, but when I started Westside, all I said for quite a while, I know I'm called to this. I'm still wondering about you. Mm-hmm. So before I raise you up, I know I'm the pastor here. And how important that is, that we don't lay hands on someone too quickly and commission them, because we've got to see what kind of guy or gal they are.
Oh, yes.
How do they handle stress? How do they handle disagreement?
Yes.
Do they got the staying power? All of that. So, man, keep on talking.
They are momentum killers.
Yeah.
You give them position. You give them authority. They say, oh, that's not my thing. I'm going to leave. And they leave with 30 people. And the momentum, you have only one chance to start.
Yeah.
So you have to protect this momentum.
Yeah, exactly.
And one thing that attract leaders, and we tested them and don't give position, so we were pretty hard on that. But from scratch, we said, we're going to be a church that's going to plant churches.
Which is the next part of your story, which I want you to tell us about, because your vision, and man, it is huge, and I'm excited to have people hear more about it. So tell us what's going on next.
My prayer is that I will not be the guy just with a huge vision, but that we're going to make it. But I think we're on the road for that. So we're not 4 years yet. We had almost three churches. We planted two, and a third in the process.
Yeah, tell us about that a little bit, real quickly. Where in the process are you? Do you have a launch date for that, or still?
Yes, we thought it would be April 23rd, but we don't have the location settled, so we're gonna probably launch first weekend of September.
Okay.
Yes,
we're
gonna
send
at least 200 to 300 people there.
And what part of Montreal is that?
Oh, it's called Hunsick. It's about 15 minutes drive from Rosemont, when the first church is.
Okay.
And the second church is about seven minute drive. But it's a totally different culture. It's a neighborhood with the artistic people. So it's close, all close, but different in culture.
Are all your chapels all French-speaking?
Yes.
All French-speaking.
We target French-speaking people. Québécois are 8 million people, 80% French-speaking people. So that's what we target.
Okay, so number three, September by God's grace.
Yes.
And then?
And then. We think we're going to plant, by God's grace, 20 churches in Montreal, on the island, okay?
Man.
The island's 2 million people. You have South Shore and North Shore. If you include all that, it's 3.5 million people. So it's big.
Yeah.
But we leave South Shore and North Shore to other churches. We focus on Montreal and regions. So we're going to plant, by God's grace, 20 in Montreal, 30 in other cities in Quebec. So we are planning, after our third church in Montreal, we're going to plan our first outside of Montreal.
Do you know where?
We know where, we're not sure about that yet. So we have a city in mind, but we just keep praying on that.
So all of these 50,
yes,
by God's grace,
yes,
live preaching. So you've got to raise up 50 leaders.
50, and more than that, because...
But 50 point
lead pastors.
Point. Yeah.
Yes, plus other preachers and kids ministry and...
Sure. Well, it's all got to multiply. But you have to have 50 preachers,
yes,
on the ground. Talk to me about that. I mean, what's your sort of plan of attack to raise up 50,
yes,
50 preachers?
We launched what we call Ethos. To make that work, I needed to have the pastors of the pastors, the worship pastor of the worship pastor, the kids pastor of the kids pastor, and the operation logistic pastor of those. Because those are the four key positions, I think, in our context, we needed to succeed. If a church plan don't have those four with really strong leaders, it will be hard to succeed.
Right.
And I needed not only a person who can do it, I needed a person who can do it and train others to do it.
Right.
So we have those four now. It took two and a half years to have those four. We got those. I'm one of them. And those four guys are training the future worship pastor, kids pastor, operations director, and preachers.
And this is something you call Ethos.
Ethos.
So do they work for Ethos, or do they work for La Chapelle, or is it one and the same in a sense?
It's all the same. Ethos is just a strategy.
Ethos is a ministry under La Chapelle.
Yes.
Boy, that's fantastic. So do you have people that are now getting trained up?
Yes.
How many do you have in Ethos?
In my Ethos group, I have about 12, 13 people. I'm not saying they all going to be.
Sure.
But I have a feeling that two or three is going to make it. So I'm always looking for, hey, do you want to be part of that? Do you want to be part of that? I'm targeting people and ask them to join us in that.
So if I said to you, if I was living in Montreal and I said, David, I want to be a part of Ethos, what does that look like for me?
Okay. I would say, man, this is so amazing. You think you're called to be a pastor. You think you're called to be a preacher. Paul said it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, he said there's many things you have to have, and mostly about character.
Right.
You want to be a pastor here? All right. We pastors show up at 5:45 every Sunday morning. So if you want to be in my Ethos group, you'll have to show with us at 5:45. Are you ready for that? You need to be a discipler. You need to lead a small group and make disciples yourself. You need to be involved in something in the church else than your small group. And you need to come to the Ethos. So are you willing to do that? Many of them are seminary students.
Okay.
Some are not. It's not a requirement. Those who are not, and I really believe in them, I ask them to choose to do one or two seminary class per session. And I target, hey, you should take that class. This is really good, you know.
Yeah.
So, and we work with them, and it discriminate a lot of people. I don't want to show up at 5:45.
Sure.
That's not pastoral ministry. That's not my calling. I'm called to preach, blah, blah, blah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. But the problem is we plant almost all portable. And if they're not really like, strong, perseverant, relentlessness, encourage yourself in the Lord type of person, they could not handle that for 3 weeks.
So you said do all those things and then come to Ethos. So is there an actual evening?
It's a monthly gathering.
Monthly gathering where you do training.
In my home.
Oh, I see.
I invite it at home. We cook for them. We train them. We pray with them. And we see who's rising.
Right.
And that's the pool where we pick our future. So we're going to plant, Hunsick. We have the pastor, the children pastor. We have the worship pastor.
You ready to go?
They are ready to go three. So we're not sure yet about the operation director. So it's not settled yet, but we're going to pick one of them, and they're going to go. Yes. So that's our disciple leadership pipeline that we use for that. Yes. It's not. It's in progress. Yeah. It's not clear perfectly yet.
David, I think this is fantastic. And your story, it just needs to be told more and more and more and more. I've said for so long, all we heard in the West is Quebec, Montreal, Quebec City, you know, Quebec is a province, the East Coast, it's dead, it's too hard.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah. And now hearing this story, and again, going back to Brent's story, but hearing more and more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so encouraging.
It is.
And just your personality is just, and your fervor and passion, it's fantastic. And I wish you nothing but the best, and we'll be praying for you much. Now, before we just shut this down, if people want to get in touch with you, support you, just pray for you, whatever, what's the best way of doing that?
It's to write me an email. But let me share some stuff you can pray for us, things you can consider and contact me about. We really need meeting space. It's so hard. You cannot imagine. I know Canada is secular, but people don't realize how Quebec is more secular than the West or even Ontario. It's more secular. So pray that we'll find locations. Pray that we'll have place to meet. It's hard to, really hard. A way churches can support us is to adopt one of our church plants. A church, an established church who said, hey, we're going to be involved in that. We're going to pray for those folks. We're going to be in contact with the lead pastor and we're gonna meet each other. We're gonna go there with a group, a mission group, and help them with what they do on ground, and give to them financially.
Right.
Because we discovered that people that really pray for us are those who are supporting us financially. Our giving in Quebec's Catholic background is a lot lower than the typical average church. So we are growing in that. We challenge our people a lot in that, but we're still less than average.
Right.
So by adopting a church, you have this relationship with the planter.
Sure.
You have news about something that is anointed from God and growing and save people, but you can have this relationship where you can come, where they can come and share their story with the church. They can preach at the church if they will, and support financially. This is a really good way.
And they contact you via email. What's your email?
My email is dpothier, D-P-O-T-H-I-E-R, at lachapelle, L-A-C-H-A-P-E-L-L-E, .me.
.me. Thank you for the time,
Norm?
Brother. Such
Thank
a pleasure,
you,
man. Yeah,
Thanks.
Bless you.
Thanks.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.